Hey, everybody. Welcome back to our podcast of Church on the Back Deck, where we're exploring a different way to how we see church, how we see the Bible, and how we see God. Today, we're going to address the topic, does God really think men are superior to women? Now, in our last blog, we established the foundation that God is an all-knowing God, and that the ladder of inference shows us we selectively choose the facts we use to form our beliefs based from our prior beliefs and prior experiences. Now, these two foundations are key in allowing God to open our mind to see a God of equality, peace, love, and acceptance, and put behind us a God of superiority, exclusion, condemnation, and judgment. And in our journey to look at things in the Bible that would certainly be the inspired Word of God and things that would not be the inspired Word of God, we'll start at the beginning of the Bible. And when we address the topic of superiority, one of the things we need to address is men thinking they are superior to women. And religion can have a great deal to do with men thinking they are superior to women. But is this what God would really think about that? Let's walk through a few of the scriptures and see what they say in regard to men being superior to women and how this lines up with an all-knowing God. Genesis 2:7 says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." Now, this verse immediately puts men above women because it says men were created first. But before we accept this and move on, let's see what else we can see. In Genesis 2:18-22, it says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.' Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man." Now, these tend to be the verses of the Bible everyone accepts as the creation of man and woman. But before we comment on this, let's look at two other verses that also address the creation of men and women. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." And then Genesis 5:1-2 says, "When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them, and he named them mankind when they were created." Now, these last two scriptures give us indication that God created men and women at the same time. So why is it we choose to accept the Genesis 2 scripture instead of the Genesis 1 and 5 scriptures, which would be more likely from an all-knowing God? Let's look at the problems associated with the Genesis 2 scripture. After man was made, then God realized it was not good for the man to be alone. An all-knowing God would have known ahead of time that it was not good for the man to be alone and would have created an equal companion at the same time instead of having to do this after the fact. Then we see the Lord God brought the livestock, birds, and wild animals to the man to find a suitable helper. Now, an all-knowing God would have known ahead of time these were not suitable companions for the man, instead of being surprised and having to come up with another idea. In addition to this, an all-knowing God would never have thought of woman as less than livestock, birds, and wild animals. So an all-knowing God would have made a woman to begin with, not as a suitable helper for a man, but as an equal companion, each having equal importance. Given these issues, it is much more likely that the Genesis 1 and Genesis 5 scripture would be the inspired word of God than the Genesis 2 scripture. In addition to this, there's another scripture that would support this thinking. Leviticus 18:6 says, "No one is to approach any close relative to have sexual relations. I am the Lord." The scriptures from Genesis 2 would indicate the world's population came from just two people. Now, this would mean that we would all be products of incest, which would be in direct violation of the law God gave Moses in Leviticus 18. However, the scriptures in Genesis 1 and 5 shows men and women, plural, being created at the same time. Now, this would allow for the world's population to not come from a violation of God's law. Another scripture that can lead to men thinking they are superior to women comes from the New Testament. 1 Timothy 2:11-15 says, "A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not the one deceived, it was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing, if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety." Okay, let's look at the problems associated with this scripture with regard to an all-knowing God. A woman should be quiet and not teach or be an authority over a man. Now, God gave men and women the same brain, but different thought processes. When men and women use their brains together, it makes up for the lack of thinking that just a man or just a woman would have independently. Together, their brains make up for each other's weaknesses. Now, also, the inspired word of God would not have limited women. It is much more likely that men would have tried to limit women. Now, for those of you who would say this is just the way it was in those times, the inspired word of God would not have given instructions for simply a period of time, but instead the inspired word of God would be for all times. Then it says Adam was not deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. Now, I'm pretty sure God doesn't make victims. And in this scripture, God gave Adam the instructions not to eat from the tree. Eve didn't force Adam to eat. He chose to eat. So God would not excuse Adam for eating the fruit. Adam was responsible for himself. In the scriptures that in Genesis that detail this event, Adam blames Eve for him eating the fruit. And God doesn't want us to blame others for our mistakes. God wants us to take responsibility for our own mistakes. And then, kind of the kicker at the end, women will be saved through childbearing? Really? This reduces women's importance to having babies instead of the God-given value to life that they truly bring. What we've looked at today in these scriptures makes it very clear why religion can have a lot to do with men thinking they are superior to women. However, when we use our God-given brain, we can see that the scriptures depicting women as less than men would very well not have been the inspired word of God, but instead the words of men. Now again, it is not my intent to destroy anyone's belief system, but perhaps to strengthen it. Over time, it seems we have turned the Bible into God. But when we allow God to open our mind, it becomes clear that some of what the Bible says would not be what God would have said at all. The reason this is so important is because some people use the Bible for superiority, exclusion, condemnation, and judgment. And I believe that God would want us to replace this with acceptance, peace, and love. Couple that with equality, and then we have a recipe for what God very likely would have said. I thank you guys for joining us. I'd welcome your comments, your feedback, and look forward to getting back with you again in our next podcast. You guys have a good day. Bye-bye.